Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
EAGLES, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to Saturday Football 24-7 edition after the Philadelphia Eagles win their season opener. Johnny Mack in Sao Paulo, Brazil. How are you doing on this Saturday afternoon, or I guess midday here, Johnny Mack?
Yeah, basking in the season opening win. Big win, too, for the Eagles against a potential playoff contender. We'll see how Jordan Love comes out of it. Still got to get an MRI when he gets back, and that will greatly affect the potential of the Packers moving forward. But with Jordan Love playing essentially the whole game, getting injured, you know, before the last play, that's an impressive win. And it's a good coaching win from the perspective of, you always hear coaches like to say, you know, a good win's where you get out of there with the W, but you got plenty to correct and plenty to harp on. And I think you see on both sides of the ball, sloppiness as far as turnovers, penalties, defensively, work in progress to be kind. So plenty to work on, but bottom line is 1-0 against a very good football team.
Yep, no doubt. Definitely some ugly stuff there. You could tell it was week one and some of the, you know, with some of the interceptions and the turnovers and some of that stuff. But overall, John, you know, what were your takeaways overall on the game and some of the miscues and just any takeaway you had on the game in general? Now that you're one day removed, it's a little bit different, I think, reacting to a game immediately on post game, you know, than it is after you consume some of the content.
Yeah, definitely. It's in a lot of ways, and you'll hear Nick say all the time when people ask him after games about particular players, you know, got to watch the film, got to watch the film. And you do before you really hone in on what went on. But, you know, Zach Bond stands out. I mean, that was a tremendous performance. Darius Slay, man, you know, that the Packers didn't even attempt to go after Darius Slay in the passing game. You know, for many years, Aaron Rodgers would make life miserable for the Detroit Lions at the height of his career. But he was always savvy enough to stay away from Darius Slay when Slay was out in Detroit. I think Eagles fans, a lot of Eagles fans, not all of them, but a lot of Eagles fans don't realize how respected Slay is around the NFL. They targeted him once in that game.
I know.
Once.
It's amazing, man.
And, you know, a lot of traffic at Quinyon Mitchell. So I thought.
Slay also had the forced fumble, as Mad Bird points out in the chat. The Eagles didn't recover it, but he did punch that ball out from.
He had some troubles in run support, as everybody did. The entire defense did. But passing game, they didn't even go near him. And part of that was they wanted to test Quinyon Mitchell.
Right.
And they had some completions and some inaccurate throws from Jordan Love, and there could have been more. They left meat on the bone, just like the Eagles left meat on the bone offensively from a turnover perspective. But I thought it was all positive from Quinyon as well. That was a tough test because they went after him, and he gave up a couple plays, but he held up very well. So I think those are the two positives on defense. And then offensively, I mean, they just – this is Howie's vision, and you saw it sort of envelop right in front of your eyes. I mean, what do you do? I've been talking about this. If you're the opposing defensive – if you're Jeff Happy, what do you do? And the 18-yard wheel route touchdown pass to Saquon Barkley is a perfect example. If you watch that play, they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith lined up next to each other. They both take in-breaking routes, and half of the Packers secondary is just worried about them and ensconcing them, rightfully so. And all of a sudden, Saquon leaks out, and he's got a one-on-one with Isaiah McDuffie. Touchdown. And that's what you're kind of, and to me, and I wrote about this on my second thoughts column at SI.com. Everybody can check it out there. But, you know, to me, it wasn't about the fantasy numbers. Everybody's excited about the three touchdowns. I get that. But it was about the impact and what we talked about. And whether it's going to be him, whether it's going to be him as a decoy for AJ and Devontae or vice versa, like it was on that wheel route. What do you do if you're an opposing defensive coordinator? And imagine the numbers the Eagles would have put up offensively if there weren't those ugly turnovers.
Unbelievable. I mean, John, they had 34 points with three turnovers. It's unbelievable.
You lose the turnover battle. Everybody's talking about it. That's what the Rams used to do, the greatest show on turf, Rams. They had a bunch of turnovers that year. They didn't give a crap because they knew they were going to get the ball down for that quickly. I'm not saying the Eagles are going to be that, but you know, there's a perfect example. They lose the turnover battle against a very good team, and they lose it significantly, 3-1, and they won the game. That generally doesn't happen. But they have so much playmaking ability, and even Grant Calcaterra got involved. Kenny Gainwell got involved. Even the role players got involved. Yeah, it's gonna be tough to stop.
No doubt, man. It's gonna be very, very tough. I think last night was a glimpse. There were some ups and some downs, John. Before I get into the defensive side of the ball, I do want to talk about Zach Bond with you. I did see your tweet earlier, man. You were enamored with Zach Bond, you and everybody else. So he had a good game last night. But, John, I just want to hit on Jalen with the three turnovers as we speak of them. Any concern on them, or can you chalk it up to a little bit of a rust? I mean, both turnovers came earlier in the game. Actually, I don't know. When did that second interception happen?
That was later.
Turnovers in the first two drives. And then
my concern, there were four turnover-worthy throws.
Yeah.
There could have been four interceptions, and one of them should have been a pick six. I guess you could say three, because when he threw the interception in the end zone, which was just an awful decision, the play before it would have been the pick six. So if it was a pick six, he wouldn't have had the other one, I guess. So you can look at it that way as three, but four bad decisions. And those, to me, it's about the bad decision is worse than the interception. You know, because you're going to throw, nobody's perfect. You're going to throw interceptions, but that's a lot of bad decisions when it comes to throwing the football in one game. And they were egregiously bad. So, yeah, there's a little bit to be concerned about, especially after the the summer of no interceptions in
practice. Right. I never want to hear that crap again, John. And you said it to be fair to you. You said, you know, don't get too get enamored with training camp stats.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, but you know, I don't want to go back into that. But the contact, you don't even know what they're trying to accomplish in practice. But I mean, they were really bad decisions. The late throw over the middle early, across his body in the red zone. Come on, that's something you expect from a rookie quarterback in his first couple starts, not a veteran former runner-up for MVP. The pick six, again, was late. It was a late throw. The potential pick six that Nixon dropped. And then late again. So that's probably the theme of all of them. They were all late. And anytime you throw the ball late, it's probably bad things are going to happen in the NFL. And Jalen's got to clean that up pretty quickly.
Yeah, so we'll see what he's able to do there. John, last point on the offense, Saquon Barkley. He had a big night, Johnny Mac. 3 touchdowns, 132 total yards of offense for him last night. What were your takeaways on him? And were you surprised at the way they used Saquon compared to how you expected them to be used, him to be used coming into the season?
Not really from the perspective of, you know, somebody asked me about touches. You know how I love the touch discussion, and I put him at about 18 to 22, and he ended up with 26. And really, the extra ones you can just chalk up to their leading late in the game, trying to close out the game. So, you know, I don't want to see 26 touches every week, but I think that'll take care of itself. That's a lot of traffic. And I think if you peel back the onion on the numbers, you know, you got the 18-yard wheel route that I talked about. You got the 34-yard run to end the third quarter.
That was a great run, man. Looked like he had nothing, and he bounced.
Well, the best part is the juice he showed, because we haven't really seen that in camp, and you started to worry, and you got to see it there. So that's a big positive. But if you think about it from that perspective, you know, those two plays account for most of the big numbers. So if you take those two plays out, it's like 3.5 yards a touch, under 3.5 yards a touch. So I'm going to go Jim Schwartz on people, and I'm going to go the baseball analogy. It's like having an old school cleanup hitter. He might be 0-for-3, and then he hits the 3-run home run, and it changes the entire complexion of the game. So that's what you have with Saquon Barkley. So, you know, if it's a 2-yard run, if it's a, you know, if he slips like he did on the first play because it's a crappy field, you're going to have some of those, ooh, this is a grind. This is not exciting. This is not looking good. And then bang, you're going to have the 34-yard run, or bang, you're going to have the touchdown. So I think that's the way people should look at it. And that's the way Howie Roseman is looking at it. And I've kind of said that from talking to Howie. It's about impact. And I know that's intangible, but I think you saw it. If you're watching the game, you got to account for this guy. So everybody's making the John Mara jokes and the Joe Shane jokes in New York, because this is what the Giants fans, and I get it, this is what, you know, they had been hoping for and never really got to see, because he was plans A, B, and C.
Right.
For every
different ball game, you know.
Defensive quarter. All they did was try to stop saying, now you got the whole secondary running to AJ and Devontae chasing them, and all of a sudden he's by himself with a linebacker. And that's what Howie's talking about. And for 1 week, it's a very, very positive start.
No doubt about it. I thought Devontae Smith, by the way, had a great game last night. A little bit more quiet. He didn't have the big splash like AJ Brown or Saquon did.
But just drive. He was a monster. He's the smallest guy on the field carrying people for first downs.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. So
he's a tremendous player, Devontae Smith.
No doubt about it. He really is. John, let's move to the defense. I know you're limited on time this afternoon. John's got some duties that he's handling at home. John, defensive side of the ball, man. Let's start with Zach Bond. You put the tweet out. You were super impressed with what he did last night. What did you see from him and the linebackers as a whole?
Well, what didn't you see from him?
I mean, two sacks. You
know, he was all over the place in a place that would, I joked. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court justice down there banned X. I thought he banned defense as well, except for Zach Bond. You know, everything positive, almost, Eagles defensively, he was in the middle of it. You know, 15 tackles, typically tackles don't tell you much. You know, you got to look at the context. If they're 8 yards down the field, it's not helping you very much. But he was all over the place. Two sacks. And, you know, remember, nobody can get their footing in this game. So one of the hopes is that, you know, the pass rush wasn't very effective. But he was effective. And he seemed to have a good, whatever it was, whatever he figured out, the cleats, everybody should have listened to him because he looked explosive. He looked fast, and he looked like Andrew Van Ginkle, which they were college teammates, and they're good friends, and it's weird. And it seems like Vic is trying to replicate what he had with Van Ginkle. And for those who don't know, because I know a lot of Eagles fans only watch Eagles football, Andrew Van Ginkle had a phenomenal year in Miami in this particular role last year. It's only one game. I don't want to overstate it, but for that one game, you know, Saquon Barkley, obviously he's the headline, right? He obviously got a game ball. I hope, you know, Nick gives out a bunch of game balls generally. I hope Zach got the first one, because that's how impactful he was on that particular game. And remember, they were struggling defensively more so than offensively. So I thought, you know, if I'm only allowed one game ball, I'm giving it to Zach Bond.
John, something tells me in that locker room, Saquon Barkley got the nod before Zach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody. I mean, three touchdowns. You know, everybody cares about the fantasy numbers. But and he's a star already. Everybody thinks he's a star. Everybody, you know, Zach Bond, everybody's like, well, Zach, well, who's Zach Bond? What's Zach Bond? I you know. When you say probably got it, he probably did, but it wouldn't surprise me if Nick thought the way I did and said, let's give this guy some love first. Saquon's still getting one, don't get me wrong. But this guy deserves it every bit as Saquon Barkley.
No doubt, John. Let's move into the other side of the or other parts of the defense. That pass rush, it was almost non-existent last night. Does that concern you, or are you chalking it more up to the field and
I'm first game, more up. Field, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
I definitely. Mean, I'll give the break
because Bryce Huff was nowhere, John.
The Packers had no pass rush either, with the exception of Rashawn Gary.
Yeah,
and they have some good.
The snap rushers. Counts, though, John, were interesting. With Bryce Huff had less snaps than Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham.
Yeah, well, I told people to watch Brandon because I thought he was going to play more than people expected.
You were spot on with that. Yep.
And, you know, no, you don't have to have him on a pitch count. Vic kind of confirmed it last week, finally confirmed it anyway. He said he's not on a pitch count. And I think that's going to continue as long as Brandon continues to play at his typical effectiveness level. But, yeah, a little bit surprised. And, you know, I think if you look at the game, and I'll look at it closer as I get more time, but I don't think you saw much from Bryce Huff or Nolan Smith. And I'm willing to chalk it up to the field because you didn't see much. I thought Kenny Clark was going to be a big problem for the Eagles, and you didn't see much from Kenny Clark, who's probably their best defensive player. Didn't see a ton from Preston Smith, who's a really good pass rusher. So it seemed to me to expand to both sides. That's why I'm willing to at least give a mulligan for week one because of the field conditions. But if that continues, and look, I don't think you saw much from Jalen Carter.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
So
I thought he was just factor in the game, and he really wasn't. Other than that, you know, the last play where Jordan Love got hurt, which everybody's now bashing on Jalen Carter for, which I think
was not even remotely a dirty play.
Not at all.
And I saw a bunch of people bashing the field. That had nothing to do with that injury. Bash the field all you want. The field was
I'm with you, crappy. Johnny. The more I watch it, I'm like, it doesn't look like the field or the player. It just looks like a bad situation, which happens in
awkward
football.
That's football. He got caught in an awkward situation. Hopefully he's okay. And hopefully it's not a season-ending injury, but I don't think it was caused by a dirty play or the turf. The turf was shitty. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. It was bad. The NFL should be embarrassed. The NFL shouldn't have these games. To be blunt, it's a money grab because they freaking siphoned every stinking penny they can get out of the North American market, and they're trying to open up new markets. But that's what it is. It's a complete money grab, and
it's just ridiculous though that there are this is, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that this league is worth collectively, and you can't give a field that these professional elite athletes can play on. It takes away from the product. It's just ridiculous, I think.
Well, it does, and it's a different product because they do have elite, and they built that stadium for the World Cup, which is, you know, a big deal worldwide. And they have higher standards for fields than the NFL, believe it or not, which is why the NFL, which is why some of the American stadiums, MetLife, I'm looking at you, have to change their turf to host World Cup events, and they wouldn't do it to host Giants or Jets games, which is crazy. A disgrace.
It really is.
So they have a standard. They have a big standard to get World Cup events, and that's what they built that stadium for. However, and J.J. Watt pointed this out, soccer players or football, whatever you want to say down there, they're you know, different types of athletes. So they make the field that's for them, and they want it to be that more glidey, whatever.
Yeah, much more finesse. It's more finesse, way less physical. And
yes,
you know, yeah.
Where in football, you have all this explosion and guys need their footing, and it's a completely different ball game. It's a disgrace. The NFL shouldn't do this, but it's a money grab.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time here, so I do want to get just your thoughts on the secondary and what you saw from them last night. You spoke about Slay pretty glowingly in the beginning of the segment, but just Quinyon and what else you saw from the secondary.
Well, I did. You know, it's funny because I don't think the defense played well, but man, that was a great interception by Reed Blankenship.
Ooh, that was nice.
Great interception. And by the way, Zach Bond helped create that because he was the guy underneath in coverage and carrying the receiver down the field. Still, that was Reed reading the play and making a nice interception. That was really difficult to keep, you know, the ball from hitting the turf as well. So he made a play. I didn't think, you know, if I talk about the starting five, if you want to count Avante Maddox, I don't think Avante played well. We'll see. I'll check the tape. And I don't think CJ played well, all that well. But obviously Slay did a tremendous job in coverage. Well, you know, they didn't test him because of his reputation. They basically feared him. Mitchell, they targeted a lot, and I think
he held up. I really did.
Yeah, I think he held up well. Easily, I would say the test was passed. They were testing him, and he passed the test. And I thought Reed, you know, you got to give Reed credit. So mixed bag, but I think it was okay. Good enough to win. It's all that matters.
No doubt. Johnny Mac, final thoughts just on the game overall. The coordinators, you get the win, right? It's a week one win. Your overall thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, Kellen, I said to start, I mean, this is a coach's dream. You win the game, but you got plenty to harp on. And that's what coaches like. So with offense, it's obviously about cleaning up the turnovers, the mistakes, clean operation, penalties. But, you know, they were calling penalty. They're calling That's another thing with the NFL. I'm going on way too much of a tangent, but these point of emphasis calls are bullshit as well.
You're right, man. And you say it all the time, John. This league is so over-legislated.
It's unbelievable. But nobody turns it off, so they don't give a crap. If you turn it off, and I don't want you to turn it off because I want people to listen to me, but if you want it to change, don't advocate for the product. But
yeah, that's never going to happen. So.
And that's never going to happen, so they don't care. Yeah, so they have to clean up. Clean operation is going to be what Kellen Moore says. But the playmakers are just out of this world, as projected. And defensively, a lot of work to do. A lot of work. And again, hopefully the defensive front, hopefully that cleans things up. Hopefully they get back to Lincoln Financial Field. They're on a good turf. The front plays well, and I think that helps everybody else.
No doubt. John, one last thing that we didn't talk about it on postgame. We didn't talk about it yet today. I didn't even see much on Twitter. How did Mekhi Becton do at right guard? Did you see anything
from him? I thought
it
was good. Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday on the show. I got to rewatch the game, but I didn't notice offensive linemen. If you don't notice them, generally that's a good thing.
Exactly.
And when you do notice them, you want it to be a Jason Kelce type of notice, you know, great block downfield or whatever, but I thought Becton held up very well. I mentioned Kenny Clark. That was what I was concerned about. And maybe it was helped by the turf and Kenny not being able to get his footing. But I didn't see much from Kenny Clark, and I didn't see many bad plays from Mekhi Becton. So I think, he played pretty well.
Good stuff there from Johnny Mac. John, thanks for joining today. I know you're bogged down with a bunch of stuff going on at home today. So thanks for carving out some time to give us this Saturday recap after the Eagles moved to 1-0. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. There's Johnny Mac joining us here on Football 24/7, a little Saturday edition. Johnny Mac had a busy schedule, so I'm happy he was able to come in and kind of give us 25 minutes of his time to recap this game. I'm going to stick around a little bit and talk to you guys a little bit in the chat. I want to thank and welcome everybody in for being here. Thank you guys for being here. Make sure you guys hit that like button. We got two new members today, John. John, is it T-Nag or Nag? Is that Nag? I think is how you would say that. John, thanks for becoming a member, man. We appreciate that. And then Doug Walters becomes a member. Doug, appreciate that very much for becoming a member. You guys are officially not only entered into the jersey giveaway, which I think is an add-on, but you're supporting the channel, which goes a long way and means a lot to me. So thank you guys for your support of the channel. It means a lot. I think I did. I'm not sure if I dropped the link in there today to join in. If you guys want to be entered, we're giving away our first Saquon Barkley jersey giveaway early in the week. Next week, I'm going to announce more details on that on the shows on Monday, hoping to give that jersey away by Tuesday or Wednesday. I just want to make sure everybody that's a member has a chance to know when it is and be present so that if their name is called as the winner, they can claim their prize and follow along. So that's what we'll do with that. So if you want to become a channel member, go ahead and do so today. You do that by clicking the join button on our channel. So I'm going to go through, read some comments from you guys, and we'll continue to recap this game. Ross and Found, who's one of our members. Ross, thanks for being a member, man. He says, one thing I am worried about is edge. I don't think they have the personnel. I hope I am wrong, resting our hopes on a Jets backup. You know, Ross, you bring up a good point with the edge. They were non-existent last night. John said, look, it's something to monitor, but the field was pitiful. There was a couple plays. I'm not sure if you saw this on social media, but there was one play where, you could see Bryce Huff, and he's trying to get around the edge, and he slips. And then he's trying to get up, and he slips again. And he's trying to get up again, and he slips again. And I'm just like, look, the other part of that I think is tough to factor in is, when you're a player and you make your money on putting your foot in the ground and getting to the quarterback, you lose a little bit of confidence.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you do that and you step and your leg gives, right? Like in a way, you almost become fearful, not fearful, but hesitant. Where you don't do it as hard. And I think that could have been a factor last night with the edge rushes. As John pointed out, there was really no rush from anybody on either defensive line on both sides of the ball or both teams. So other than Rashawn Gary, who had a great game for the Packers. But I thought that was interesting. So we're definitely going to have to monitor it. But, you know, as of now, Bryce Huff was SOS. I thought the most concerning part about the Bryce Huff thing was, I'm going to try and pull it up for you guys, was the snap counts. When you look at the snap counts from last night, let me see if I can get them real quick. I'll pull them up so you guys can see, and we can run through them together. Here they are from John McMullen, so I'll bring them up on his Twitter. One sec, let me do that. I'll share the screen. Bear with me as I'm doing a little production on the fly here. So here's the snap counts, right? And you can see this is the offense here. So all pretty normal here, 100% for, you know, the whole offensive line. Jalen, obviously, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown only missed four plays, Dallas Goedert. So everything pretty normal here, 80% of the plays for Saquon Barkley, which I thought was pretty good. Everything pretty normal here, right? E.J. Jenkins even got out there for three snaps. Britton Covey, 9 snaps. Johnny Wilson, 10. So everything pretty normal on offense. You go to this defensive side of the ball, right? And where are we starting? So here we go. Bond 100%, Reed Blankenship 100, Slay 100, pretty good stuff there. Gardner Johnson missed one snap, so 99% there. Everything normal, N'Kobe Dean, Quinyon, Avante Maddox. And then you get down into the defensive line, the defensive tackles. Josh Sweat 61%, so that's a better number for him than last year. Jalen Carter pretty up there, but, you know, Nolan Smith takes 31 snaps. Brandon Graham takes 32 snaps. Josh Sweat takes 41 snaps. Jordan Davis takes 35 snaps. And the $17 million edge rusher, the guy we signed in the offseason, you know, who's supposed to replace Bryce Huff, has 30 snaps? So you're telling me we paid $17 million for a guy to play 45% of the snaps? And not only that, he had zero pressures, zero tackles, zero sacks. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing in the game. And, you know, when you look at these snap numbers I mean, Bryce Huff played as much as Milton Williams, who had 28 snaps. It's concerning, man. I mean, look, I don't want to make too much of it because it's week one here. So, you know, look, let's see how he develops. But as of now, Bryce Huff is on the milk carton. He is SOS. And not only is he SOS, but I think those snap counts show a lack of faith from Vic Fangio to even have him on the field. You have 35-year-old Brandon Graham out there for more snaps than Bryce Huff, the guy you just paid $17 million plus for. I don't get that at all. So, you know, we're going to have to monitor that for sure. Ross and Found, thank you for the super chat, my man. We appreciate you checking in. He says if BG is taking that many snaps, it's an issue. See, Ross, I don't think it's an issue on BG's front. I think it's an issue on Bryce Huff's front because to your point, it is an issue because the only way BG's getting that many snaps means you're bringing Huff off the field. And, you know, BG is going to get snaps because Josh Sweat isn't 100% player. Obviously he's a guy that needs some, you know, he needs some rest in the games. And I think that's better for him. He's more productive when he has some rest, but so I'm not overly concerned with BG getting more snaps, but I am concerned when you talk about how much Bryce Huff was out there. It almost tells me Vic Fangio has no faith in him. He doesn't even believe in the player to put him out there. And, you know, you guys are all pointing to the field. And, you know, M. Reyes, I hear you, dude. And everybody else says the field. I agree. The field was bad. But that doesn't answer for why everybody was on the same field. BG had more snaps. Josh Sweat had more snaps. You know, so it doesn't really answer. Even if the field was slippery, that would answer for the production. It doesn't answer to the snap count and why Vic Fangio had him out there for less than 45, we get him out there for 45% of the snaps. I think that's pretty egregious. So definitely something to monitor as we go here into week two. I think overall, look, I don't want to sound any alarms. I'm just kind of being that Eagles fan that picks apart everything. And you want you want answers on everything. But overall, we're 1-0. You get the win in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I think that's a big thing for the Eagles to walk out of there 1-0. I was a little concerned going into the game. Just that, you know, I thought all the factors were in the Packers' favor and that Eagles lose a home game. You're traveling 4,000 plus miles to be the home team, you know, and normally we have the best home field advantage, I would argue, in the NFL in the link. So I thought everything was kind of in the Packers' favor. So to get out of there with a win at 1-0 is a blessing. You know, I think the other silver lining here is we talked about the three turnovers. We had 34 points last night. With three turnovers. That's pretty unbelievable. And then to give some credit to the defense, three turnovers, two of them came inside our own, 20 or 30, inside our own red zone, basically. And we only gave up 29 points on the game. So overall, you know, I think there's some silver linings there with those turnovers and how the defense was able to mitigate, you know, them getting into the end zone. Hopefully the offense can slow that down, though. I do not want to see Jalen Hurts having that many turnovers this year. So, you know, hopefully they can get that handled. James Dogwin checks in and says, Saquon jersey. James, no doubt, brother. We will be giving away a Saquon jersey this week. I'm going to put I'm going to put in the chat now the link to join because I know people try and join and they can never figure out how to do it. But we will be giving away the Saquon jersey. You must be a channel member to win. So James is saying Saquon jersey. But James, you're not a member on the channel, my man. So you can't win it if you're not a member. So I'm going to put the link in the description or in the chat box right now to join if you want to become a member and be entered into the Saquon jersey giveaway. I view that as an add-on, everybody. When you become a member, you are really supporting our channel and the content that we bring you every day. We are not a venture-backed company. We do not have angel investors. We don't have venture capitalist in our corner. I have you, the people, and we have a couple great sponsors that keep us alive. And then obviously we have myself, John McMullen, Dan Cilio, and a couple other things that go into, you know, the expense of the channel. So we appreciate all of your guys' support. You really do make it happen. I'm going to take a couple more questions here, kicking around with you guys. Happy to be 1-0. Shonsky becomes a member. Shonsky, thank you, my man. We appreciate you becoming a member and supporting the channel. Delahan Monsters in here. He's a channel member, so we appreciate that. So thank you all for becoming a membership. I'm going to go through and see some comments. If you guys have any good comments or things you want to talk about, definitely drop them in. All super chats will go to the front. So we appreciate that. Let me go through the chats. I missed a bunch, so I'm going to go through and see if I can find some good stuff. Slagger. I meant to ask John about this. Slagger, this is going to be a Birds 365 topic on Monday without a doubt. Slagger says that wide three-man defensive line with two edges was getting gashed, and that's that famous Vic Fangio 50 front that we talked a lot about. And, you know, I'll eat a little crow here because I was super excited, Slagger, for the 50 front. I thought five-man front, who are you going to double? You got Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, and then you're going to have two edge rushers. It's almost like a pick your poison, you know, with who you're going to block, and it would create lanes to get to the quarterback. But you're right, it got completely gashed last night, especially in the run game. It was not good, and it really created no pressure. Now, maybe some of that's on the field, and maybe some of that will be corrected, but you know, that 50 front was definitely gashed last night, without a doubt. James Godwin, Dogwin becomes a member. James, appreciate you, brother. Thank you for your support. I know you've been a longtime listener. I've seen your chats in here for a bit, and I know you're a big fan of Johnny Mac. So James, thank you, man, for being in here. And now he says it, Xander, I'm a member now. Now I'll say Saquon jersey, let's go. So we'll be giving away the Saquon jersey this week. So stay tuned, everybody, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, one of those days. I just want to give everybody that is a member a chance to be up to date on when I'm doing it. That's the reason for the, not delay, but I'm going to do it Monday or Tuesday. I don't want to do it right away, you know, and then not everybody has a chance to consume. So I want everybody a chance to get in, to figure out when we're doing it and see if they can, you know, get in. So I'm going to go to our super chats now. Abe checks in. Abe, thank you, brother. Appreciate the super chat, man. By the way, Abe, it was great talking with you last night. Abe joined us last night, guys, on the post game show. Last night I brought in some fans. So it's something I'm going to try and do every week where I give the link for you guys to join the show if you're willing to do it. I love talking to you. I love talking football with you guys. And I love the points of view you guys have as fans. So I'm going to try and do that as much as possible. Abe says, Becton gave Barkley big hole for the rushing touchdown. Abe, good point, man. He did. And I did rewatch some tape of that this morning. And I thought Becton was good last night, you know, and John made up a good point. When you don't hear anything on an offensive lineman, that's typically a good thing, because, you know, if you're hearing a lot, they're probably getting burned, you know, unless it's they're pulling and getting upfield. So overall, I thought Becton held his own at right guard. Another Jeff Stoutland project. Looks like it's going to work pretty well. We'll continue to watch him throughout the season. Money Sprung checks in. Money, appreciate you being here, man. He says edge might be overblown. Packers had explosive plays and we never got into passing downs because they ran over us because Fangio played too high all game. It's a good point, Money. You're right. I mean, some of those setups that Vic had out there, I was confused by. And, you know, you bring up the good point with the too high safety and they were running it right down our throat with it. And they continued to do it all second half. It was, you know, Josh Jacobs really came alive in that second half. He was running the ball really well. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I admittedly have said I'm not a huge fan of the Vic Fangio style of defense, but I think he's the right coordinator to run it if you're going to run that style. So hopefully he can make some adjustments. By the way, I did think he brought some, excuse me. I did think he brought some pressure last night in good moments, you know, which was good to see because you talk about, you know, guys like Vic who don't like to blitz at all. I thought he was selective and good with it last night in terms of when to bring, you know, when to bring the pressure. But good point, Money Sprung. Appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you for supporting the channel. Slagger checks in, says that's a good point about Huff. Also, he wasn't on the field because he's a pass rusher and there weren't enough passing downs. Slagger, good point. Good point about the snap count. I brought that up earlier. I still have it up here. You know, you see those snap counts with Bryce Huff down at only 30 snaps and 45% of the snaps played. So it is a good point. You know, they weren't in that many. They didn't have as many passing downs last night. And maybe that's part of the reason Bryce Huff was out there. But Slagger, it does also then highlight, you know, how limited of a pass rusher he is. You know, if he can only be out there on passing downs, we paid 17 and change for a guy that must get after the quarterback. And if he can't get after the quarterback, it's going to be all for naught. He's not a three down player at all. And I think to your point, you know, maybe that's why he wasn't on the field, but it also does highlight the backside of that. He's not a three down guy and he's not going to be. And Vic doesn't trust him in that role. So there's a silver lining to that, but there's also a good and bad there But anyway, appreciate the comment there. F Body Guy drops a super chat. Thank you guys. All super chats, as I mentioned, will go to the front. Appreciate you, Body Guy, for going. Does that mean Fox Body by any chance? Fox Body Guy 46, F Body Guy. It might mean something completely different, but I'm a Mustang guy. So if you're talking about Fox Bodies, I'll get into some of that with you. He says, been waiting all offseason for the Xander Mack postgame recap. Glad the first one's a win. Some things to clean up, but overall happy with the defense. Look, I agree. And by the way, I appreciate the comments, man, that you've been waiting for Johnny Mack and I. It's been a lot of fun doing the content. John only had 20 or so minutes today because he's bogged down. He's got a lot of stuff, you know, going on at the house. So unfortunately, I couldn't get him for longer. But appreciate you being here, man. John was on our postgame show as well. So make sure you guys go and check that out, the Jacob postgame show, the first edition of the 2024 Jacob postgame show. So appreciate that. But, you know, I think you're right. Overall, I was pretty happy with the defense. As I pointed out, remember, we had three turnovers, two of them in our own red zone, basically. And the Eagles defense held them to 3 points both times. They only give up 29 points in the game with three turnovers. So overall, I think the defense did have some good things. There was some stuff that didn't look so great. But I think by week 8 or 9, I think this thing's going to be clicking, man. I think some of these players are going to get more acclimated to the system. I think some of the young guys are going to continue to get better. And I think the defense is on a good track right now. So F-Body, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for being here. He says Camaro. I'll forgive you on that. I'm not a Camaro guy, my guy. I'm a Mustang guy. Abe says Xander got himself a Shelby. Abe, not yet, brother. Not yet. Hopefully one day, man. That's the dream. You know, you get a Shelby GT500, soup it up, cam it up, you know, straight pipe that sucker. That would be a great – I'd love to do that. But Bruce Banner, Mustang guy, Xander, I got my Subaru on coils. Nice. Good stuff, Bruce. My uncles were big Subaru guys. They drove the STIs, so – appreciate that, man, for the comment. Good stuff, everybody. Overall, everybody, look, we're 1-0, right? I mean, you come out of there, you go down to Brazil, you have to travel 4,000 plus miles for a home game, and we come home 1-0. So at the end of the day, that's all we can ask for. I think there was a lot of ugly in the game. I will admit to you all now, I'm a little concerned about the Jalen Hurts decision-making last night. Not that I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is phenomenal. I just think it's a little too much of a roller coaster for me right now, where the highs are so good and he makes plays that you're just like, how the hell did he make that play? And then the lows are too low where you're like, why did he throw that ball? You know, even the fourth quarter one, back across the body. And a lot of people were talking about AJ Brown slipped. And I'm like, look, I don't care that A.J. Brown slept. If you're going to argue to me that that was a throw that should have been made, I'm going to vehemently disagree with you, because that was just a bad decision there by Jalen Hurts. So I want to see him clean that up, man. We cannot get into a season where turnovers are a problem for Jalen Hurts again. So hopefully he can clean that up. But like I said, we're walking out 1-0. 1-0, baby. You got to be 1-0 each week in this league, and it's a war of attrition. So I think we skated by. Nothing big on the injury front. CJ Gardner-Johnson returned to the game. So we move into week 2, 1-0, and in a good spot to take advantage of where we are. Got the Falcons on Monday Night Football next week. Money Sprung checks in with another $5 Super Chat. Money, appreciate your support of the channel. All Super Chats will go to the front. If there's a Super, I'm not leaving. I refuse to end the show if there's a Super Chat to get to. So appreciate you, Money Sprung. He says, money aside, we should look at Bryce Huff more as our Chris Long, not as Hassan Reddick. Also on the Blankenship pick, Huff is in coverage. Money, how are you going to tell me we paid $17 million for a guy that's supposed to serve a Chris Long role? Chris Long was great in Philly, but, you know, his role was what his role was, and it worked because that was the expectation. That was what we paid for, and that's how our defense was set up. Our defense is not set up right now for it to be the Chris Long role for him. It's set up for him to be the Hassan Reddick replacement. I mean, money. I appreciate the point, and I appreciate the super chat. And good point, on, by the way, on the Blankenship pick. Huff was in coverage on that. But who's going to be our bona fide edge rusher? Who is going to wreak havoc on other quarterbacks? Who is going to get after the QB on the other team if it's not Bryce Huff? We don't really have edge rushers that are great at that. Josh Sweat is a great three-down player. You know, he's a great three-down player, but overall, he's not, you know, the type of edge rusher that Hassan Reddick was. So, I appreciate the point, but I struggled with thinking that we paid $17 million for a guy that's going to be a Chris Long for the defense and not even close to Hassan Reddick. I see your point, so I appreciate the sentiment, but, you know, I struggle with grasping that concept a little bit. You know, maybe that means we just overpaid for Bryce Huff and it was a miscalculation. But look, it is week one, so I do want to give the guy a chance to acclimate, get into the Fangio system and, you know, get better on this team. So I will give him a little bit more time, but definitely something we got to watch here with where we are. Emre says, I'm not worried, but Packers fans are. Yeah, they should be. Look, he says money aside, man. You're right, money, but I can't do it, Money Sprung. How do you put the money aside when he makes $17 million? It's tough to do, but I do hear what you're saying. Your point is well taken. I'm just trying to – it's tough for me to see it past that. But, you know, by the way, just on Jordan Love, I hate to see any player get injured. You never want to see a player get injured. It didn't look good to me. I'm not a doctor. I talk sports with you guys, so I don't know. But you saw that one video floating around. It looked like the knee, popped, and you're just like, oh, I hope not an ACL. Look, I mean, you know, and then the other side of it is, look, this is the NFL. It's the war of attrition, and it's part of the game. This is an NFC contender, and Jordan Love going down is, I hate to say this, but it helps this football team. You look at that Packers team. This is a team we thought we could see in the playoffs. This is a team that we thought could, you know, really have a big season this year with a good roster. So the war of attrition strikes again. And, you know, like I said, I'll pray for Jordan Love. You never want to see a player get injured, no doubt about it. But it's part of the game, you know, it's part of the game. So you got to, you got to take it for what it's worth. And hopefully he's all right. But at the end of the day, it does help the Eagles in the NFC front, because I think that opens up the door for a lesser team to get into the playoffs in the NFC. And that might make the road to the Super Bowl that much easier for the Philadelphia Eagles, and you got to look at it as a positive on that front. Alfredo checks in. Alfredo, appreciate the super chat, man. He says, should have kept Reddick. He is purely a pass rusher. Alfredo, I'm with you, man, but look, we can't live in the past anymore. I don't know. He's gone. He's as good as gone. I saw a report. He was going to report to the Jets finally. It's been chaos. It's been a nightmare for the Jets trading for him. I don't know how you trade for a guy like that and don't have a contract in place. But it hasn't really turned out well for them, you know, with Hassan Reddick. Hopefully he shows up for them. Well, not hopefully. I don't care if he shows up or not. I don't care. I could care less about the Jets. But, Reddick was a good player. So Eagles didn't want to pay him. They don't want to pay him either. Nobody in the league seems to want to pay him. So I think that does speak to something. But, you're right. I do agree with your point that we should have brought him back. Any other comments I'll hit before I get out of Dodge? Mad Bird, my man Mad Bird checks in. Appreciate you, Mad Bird, one of our channel members. He's eligible to win a Saquon Barkley jersey. Did I pin that in the chat? Oh, I forgot to pin the link. I'll pin it here. So if you guys do want to become a member to be eligible to win a Saquon Barkley jersey, you can do so at that link I just pinned at the top of the chat. Mad Bird says, Xander, at times I think Sills is right about Jalen not really reading coverages. I don't like when he continues to throw in double, triple coverage rather than letting the team punt the ball on third down. Mad, that was a little earlier I talked about the interceptions, and, you know, I do want to give Jalen some time to kind of shake some of the rust off and get into a season flow. But I said it, I'm concerned with the decision-making. And to your point about, you know, the punting the ball on third down, forget punting the ball. That fourth down, or that fourth quarter interception, or third, I think it was late third quarter, we were in field goal range. Take the 3 points, go up by 8, and live to see another down. Instead, he's scrambling to his right. He throws it way across his body, and Jair Alexander, who's obviously a savvy cornerback, read it like a book. You know, when he jumped right in front of it, it was almost easy for him. And everybody talks about AJ slipping on the play. I don't think AJ slipping on the play had anything to do with that interception. I think whether AJ slipped or not, that was a dumb decision from the quarterback. And he's got to clean some of that up. So, Matt, I think you're right. And Sills is right. Look, Sills talks about that a lot. And a lot of fans get upset with him because, you know, sometimes it feels like Sills is, you know, coming at our team. And look, he just views it from a different perspective. He didn't grow up a fan of the Eagles. He's not a fan of the Eagles. He has an objective point of view. And, you know, he calls it for what he, how he sees it. He's a guy that played in the NFL. He's a guy that was a legend at Miami when they were winning their national championship. So I respect his point of view. You know, I didn't play football that high at that high of a level. So when Sill speaks, I do listen. It doesn't mean I agree with everything, but I do. I try and understand where he's coming from. So Matt, appreciate the chat, man. We appreciate it. Kevin says, I forgive you for being a Mustang guy. Kevin, you don't have to forgive me, man. I will never apologize. I love my American muscle. And I'll choose Mustang all day and twice on Sunday. So appreciate everybody for being here today. Good 50-minute show recapping this game on a Saturday. It's a victory Saturday, everybody. So I hope you all have a great day. I hope you all enjoy your night. If there's any other super chats that come in, I will read them before I get out of here. But overall, look, like I said earlier, you get out of Brazil. You travel 4,000 miles for a home game. You get out of there 1-0. You got no big injuries. And you win the game. That in the NFL, a win is a win is a win, and you are what your record says you are. And right now, we're 1-0. So we're as good as we can be at this point. Hopefully, they clean a couple of the things up, and we have a better looking product next week. Overall, I thought it was good, but I just thought there were some things they definitely needed to clean up. And you can chalk some of that up to some rust and you know, no preseason play. So we'll see how everything develops this year. Appreciate everybody for being here right now. It's been a great show as always. I appreciate all of our guys in the chat. We appreciate our new members. James Dowgan. Is that how you say that, James? James, thanks for becoming a member. Seansky becomes a member. Sean, thank you for becoming a member, man. Appreciate it. Doug Walters becomes a member. Doug, appreciate you for being here, man. Thank you for becoming a member. And John becomes a member. John, thank you for becoming a member. I appreciate all of you guys. And then our supers for money from F Body, from Abe, from Ross and Found. And that's it from everybody. So appreciate all of you guys for your contributions, for your support of the channel today. We appreciate it. That's going to do it for my recap on this Saturday. Hopefully I'll do another show even tomorrow just because the game on Friday, I don't like to go dark on the weekend. So, and by the way, for those who joined me last night on the post game show, I'm going to be posting out a little bit later on today the segment of the fan, the voice of the fan. So I had a couple fans join me last night. Abe was one of them. Abe, you joined me. Abe, you were awesome last night, my man. Thank you. Joe Whip. I know Joe Whip is in here. Let me find him. Joe Whip. Joe, you were great last night. Thank you for joining me, brother. I'm going to post that segment out as its own post. So that's coming later today. So if you were on there and you want to, you know, see yourself on the channel, I think that's a fun thing. You know, good stuff. So I'll be posting that up later today. Paul, enjoy your weekend as well, brother. Appreciate you being here. One more comment I'll read from Paul because Paul's a guy I like. Paul always has great comments in the chat. He says, Hurts had some real head-scratching decisions on about five or six passes. Packers could have a couple more. 13 carries for him is too many in my opinion, but in the end, a win is a win, and you take them. Paul, couldn't agree more with everything you said there. Hurts did have some more. You know, there was a couple more passes. There was the pick six that could have been pick six that was dropped. There was another throw to A.J. Brown late in the game. It was like a 10-yard out, and A.J. was right there at the first yard marker, and he basically broke up the interception. Jaire Alexander almost had his second pick. So there were a couple of throws from Jalen that were definitely head-scratching, so we'll be watching them. And I agree, 13 carries, too much for me. For Jalen Hurts. I don't want to see him getting hurt. We need him to get to the Super Bowl. So good points, Paul. Thank you for checking in, man. Thank you for that that chat, and thank you for your words on the post-game show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you didn't watch the post-game show, go ahead and go and do that now. That's going to do it for our show right now, everybody. Appreciate all you guys. Go Birds, baby. 1-0. See you next time on Jacob Sports, everybody.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.